Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is me, Snuffleupagus, Bad Lathan Jr.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't expecting you to say that. And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
All right, so it's time to talk about health issues. Rach, you had a touch of a cold earlier.
Yes.
You were talking about it earlier. You went and had COVID tests. How did those COVID tests turn out?
I started feeling bad Monday. I took a PCR Monday, still felt bad Wednesday, took another PCR, both negative. I feel better. I'm not as congested, but I feel very tired. I'm very fatigued.
Right. I started feeling scratchy throat stuff yesterday. And then throughout the day, the nose was running like Usain Bolt. I went for a PCR yesterday, negative. Went back for a rapid today, negative. But it is hard to talk.
Really?
It's not hard to talk. It's just like, I hate feeling congested.
It's the worst, right? Like you feel like you're suffocating a bit. Like you feel like something's got a hold on you. I know.
Something's got a hold on you.
Well, I'm glad you're negative. I'm negative. We were talking about this earlier because I feel like sickness is related to blood types. And right. I don't know if it's like you can look up your blood type and it tell you things that you're supposed to avoid. You're supposed to not avoid. And I think, and I've heard this before about COVID, that it's related to blood types, but I can't remember which one. So of course I ask you, I'm like, oh, what's your blood type? You don't know yours, do you?
I have no clue. No clue what my blood type is.
This is a common theme. I know I'm B. I just don't know which one.
You don't know. So I might as well. What are the?
I might as well just not know. Cause that
what are the, is it, it's B, positive? It's the negative, positive, and then what else is there?
I think there's just negative, positive. I mean, there's AB, but this is why I don't have Siri set up on the phone. I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't like that.
She just said it's B negative. She just basically just said exactly what I said. I don't think I know what my blood type is. I've never known.
Well, we all should know. I'm not sure but I understand. Shut her up, Van. Shut her up. I hate Siri. I really do. She's disabled on all my stuff.
I like her. I use her. Like I'm so old. I'm like one of them old head ass niggas walking around happy that I can use new technology. You know, I walk around. Hey, Siri, call Rachel Lindsay.
No.
And then she'll call you. And I'm like, yo, man, we in the fucking future. So hold on. But she is going to. I don't know why she's doing it because she's about to do it again. Why don't we know what our blood type is? Like, why?
I mean, we should. And I feel like I've asked my mother this and she's told me and she has it written down somewhere. But I don't know why I don't make the effort to know. I don't know why. Wait, why are you laughing?
Because moms are so clutch. When I had to get my California license, I didn't get a California license until like 10 years of having lived in California.
Don't blame you. I still have Florida.
I need my birth certificate, I called my mom, 36-year-old man. Like, I needed my birth certificate. I'd rather than go through. Like, mama, you got my birth certificate? Yeah, baby. Mama can go down there and make sure you got it. My social security card, all of that stuff. Like, I called my mom for that. I love you, mama. I love you. My mother and my mama, they know everything. But, you know, even talking right now, it's starting to break up a little bit. I'm not as congested
good,
as I
good,
was.
Good.
I watched the lady at the in line for the COVID to get the bad news.
Wait. Were you next to her?
No.
Okay.
Not really. I was kind of far away.
Can I ask you this? Because this is actually something. What? I was listening to something about this. Were the first place you went to get a COVID test, were you able to get one?
Oh, I have a special place. I'm not telling anyone about it.
Okay. That's selfish. I went to two places.
Oh, I'm not going
to
ruin it.
Like, well, you'll be fine, but there are people out there in need. I went to two places to get a rapid test yesterday, and they turned me down. Like, they turned me away. They were like, we're no longer giving COVID tests today. You need to come back tomorrow. Fortunately, yeah. I can go down to Warner Brothers. It's just all the way in Burbank and get tested. But, like, there were all these people.
I can go down to Warner Brothers.
But there were all these people in line. Oh,
My name is Weibo. Oh. I can go to Warner Brothers and it, I go right there and Batman himself will take the test for me when I go to Warner Brothers. I go to Warner Brothers and Superman goes, Rachel, I'll fly your test. Like, yeah, you know we know what? You're you important.
Know oh, man. And I'm not going to tell you where I get my test. It's a secret. It's a special secret place.
Like, shut the fuck up. I'm saying this because there are you got a special place, I got a special place. There are people out here who cannot get tested, who are waiting in line sick, missing work, you know what I mean, confused out here, scared, don't know what to do, and they can't even get a damn test. It's a for real problem. I just quit. I was like, forget this, I'll just go home. I'm just gonna
go
home.
You know what's crazy? Is this place that I go, and the name of the place is Robertson Specialty Pharmacy. It's on Robertson.
We bullied him, y'all.
He bullied me into telling you where the place is. It's a great place, great staff. I love my peeps over at Robertson Specialty Pharmacy. They normally you can get in and get out of there pretty easily. But like, I used to go there all the time when the curve wasn't as fucked as it is right now. And just, you know, if you're feeling a little sluggish or something you want to see, you pop in there 15 minutes, you know, if you got to travel, you go someplace, you come back, you want to know whether or not you got something. But I will say that I can judge the pandemic, of course, based upon how busy it is. It used to be you went over there, they came to your car, they swabbed you, they came back out 15 minutes, you're good, you're bad. Now, you got to wait in a little line. They got to, and then it's not just this, it's also they're vaccinating so many more people and boosting so many more people. Do you have a booster? I don't have a booster yet.
I don't have a booster and I don't want to right now because I'm sick. I had an appointment actually today after this podcast, but because I'm sick, I don't want to get it.
Omicron. I have to talk about something. Trudy, jump on real quick.
Oh. Trudy's Wi-Fi is acting up. Trudy might not be able to join us via face.
That's fine.
Oh my God, my Wi-Fi is cutting up. Hold on.
I just wanted to say that because I don't want them to think that you're making that as an excuse, Trudy. You said that before we started the podcast.
Look, I'll be honest with you guys. They lit you and Trudy up.
Me?
Yeah. Both of you guys. Both of you guys have finally exposed how toxic you really are. With the scenario with Keith and Tamika. I was appalled.
I stand by what I said.
I thought I was with some woke warriors. Little did I know that I'm on here with the guy from the Honeymooners. You guys are like, this is like really old school stuff that you guys got going
what
on.
What was the problem? What was the biggest problem that people had with what Trudy and I said?
There were myriad problems, and by the way, it wasn't you. It wasn't just you and Trudy. They have a problem with the whole thing. Okay, it's with me as much as you and Trudy as well. First of all, I will admit that us having a conversation, and I want to ask you guys this question. We're not going to stay on this very long. Us having a conversation about the worth of someone based upon how much money that they make—that's semi-classes, is it not?
Of course.
Right. Okay. So that's what they were saying.
It's just a scenario. Like, we don't need to break it down as to how problematic it is. It's just a conversation that, like, it was real life in some ways. So, right. Yeah. Of course it's classes. Yeah.
They want Trudy to go on Kevin Samuels' show.
Tell them I said, fuck Kevin Samuels. Also, I said what I said. Like, I get people have their feelings, but I really just feel like Black women, for one, are the most educated demographic, number one. And then number two, for the day that I don't want to be on my shit and don't want to go as hard as I do right now, I'm definitely going to need to be with somebody that will allow me to pull back. So if anybody got a problem with me, come see me, because I said what I said.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you, like that's very interesting. Just, you know, just the, I know that the sisters are the most educated. You know, You know, brothers, we trying, man. Don't just kick us in our nuts all the time. They put us in jail and kill us up a lot. We trying.
But you know what's crazy?
We trying, man.
People have such problems with women being very, you know, like emphatic about what it is that they want for themselves or what their standards are. But then a Kevin Samuels can go around throwing out a term like a high value man, which I still don't even know what the hell that is. And nobody has a problem with it. You know what I mean? Like it's problematic for women to speak up and say, I want this or I demand this. But when it comes to the other side, it's okay.
Well, like, I just, okay. Allow me to play devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
Is it possible that the concept of the quote unquote high value man is wrapped up in the same globule as demanding a man to make a certain amount of money? Because essentially what you're saying is that you have to have a high value man. So what happens to me, this could be a theory for you and Trudy or any people out there when we start talking about money, because we talked about passion, we talked about ambition, we talked about a lot of things that really don't necessarily have to do with how much money you're making, right?
Correct.
Like, I know people who are passionate about whittling, and if you were around them and seen the things that they whittle, it's amazing. And they're interesting people because of it. They're more, it's enriching to know them because of some of the things that they do. Not everybody even wants to get paid for their passions. We should say this. But if you demand that your man be a certain, have a certain financial status, you're essentially demanding a high value man, which then makes a high value man scarce. And when there's the scarcity of something, people tend to abuse things. So it's like Kevin Samuels talking about a high value man, talking about those guys that fit into those categories sometimes that like you ladies are talking about. They have their choice over so many women in the dating pool that it's very, very difficult for them not to believe that their shit doesn't stink. And I'm not saying that's with all of them. I'm just saying that sometimes what you're talking about, this is just a don't attack.
You're right.
Sometimes
advocate,
what you're talking about could actually create a Kevin Samuels. Like that, I'm not in any way blaming women for Kevin Samuels. Kevin Samuels is his own person. But guys walking around feeling like that, hey, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, it's because they feel like, hey, I got a nice job, I got a nice this, and I got a nice this. I'm what every woman wants. And so let me act like that.
So why can't we act like that?
You can.
So here's the thing.
But just know, I don't think it's a good game for women to play, though,
but,
I'll be honest.
But that's the problem. Men can act like that, but women who have that same thing, it becomes problematic. And that's where stereotypes get played. Like, that's the problem in our society with certain stereotypes. But I will say this. People weren't listening to things that Trudy and I were saying, because Trudy and I did not say our man has to make a certain amount of money. What we said was, and I think I and baby both
she
Trudy
said
it. I'm missing,
guy
and
had
I'm
to be
missing,
on the board,
and I'm
line.
Missing, and I'm missing. I might be mixing up conversations that I had like in my own group chat, but I have come to the turn. I'm okay with making more than my significant other. I'm okay if I've been okay with that for a while, like even before I got married. So I'm not saying you got to meet me or go above what I make. What we're saying is that whatever you're doing, like, I hope that's the thing that you really want to do in life. Mm-hmm. Like, that is your passion. That brings you joy. And that's all you've ever wanted to be.
Word up.
What we said was, we have a hard time believing that selling shoes was all you ever wanted to be.
Thank you. That was my main point. And I only said the board because the scenario was Foot Locker. Like, honestly, like, I'm not even really into guys that are into that, like, crazy sneakerhead stuff anyways. So that was only because
I'm going
scenario.
To Foot Locker.
But yes.
And I'm gonna ask, I'm gonna say, what do you really want to do in life?
I'm gonna be real with you. You can't tell me that you know whether or not that man want to do something other than working for
life. I'm going to do an experiment. I am not kidding. And okay. I'm going to say, what do you really want to be? I'm doing a little something. What do you want to be? I guarantee you not one person in that store is saying this is all I've ever wanted to do in life.
Well, I'm not speaking for them. I know when I worked at Best Buy, I remember when I worked at Best Buy, the managers and stuff, they would come and they would tell us about driving sales, driving all of this. And one time this lady manager, she looked at me, she goes, I'm not like Van. I'm not going to go out to LA and be some big, big deal. This is my job. And I was like, damn, And then the entire store laughed. And I wasn't even saying damn because I was dissing her because her dream was to like rise in Best Buy. I was saying damn because I had never thought about that before. So when they're asking me to stay and close up and do all of this stuff and I actually want to go to the party and I actually want to half do it and leave, like their actual career ascension is on the line if I don't close the store up right, when this is for me to make extra money to try to get a Pelly Pelly. You know what I mean? So anyway. All right. I think it's, you know, look, you guys, Trudy's here to stay. You guys loved Trudy. Trudy gives us an insight into something that we're not into anymore. So Trudy's here to stay. Trudy's here to stay.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200 or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
I actually want to start the podcast with something that just happened pretty recently. There's been a verdict. Kim Potter was found guilty. Former Minnesota police officer Kim Potter found guilty of manslaughter in the death of Dante Wright. You might remember this was the one where the gentleman was being detained by the cops. He jumped into his car, made a run for it. Kim Potter pulled what she thought was her taser, but it was actually her sidearm. She shot Dante Wright. He died. The question of, I think the central question in this case, actually, you know what? I don't know what the central question in this case was. From a legal perspective, what is the central question in a manslaughter case such as this one?
Well, I don't know what the central question is, but I know the charges that were at hand, which was first degree manslaughter, second degree manslaughter. Neither one of those, the prosecution had to prove intent. So, you know, of course, when the defense is saying she didn't mean to do it. Well, intent isn't an element that has to be proven for her to be charged with this first degree or second degree manslaughter. What I will tell you, though, what I thought, because the jury had deliberated for, I think, 27 hours before they came back with the verdict. But during that 27 hours, they first came to the judge and said that they couldn't come to a decision. The judge again read them the instructions, told them to go back. Another time they came and they asked about the gun. So I think that was a very telling point. They wanted to see and hold the gun versus the taser. And I think that that's the most damning part of the whole thing, of an officer who's been on the force for 26 years can't tell the difference between a gun and a taser. And when you see the picture of the two and the weight of the two, you see that that shouldn't have happened. She shouldn't have made that mistake, especially being the veteran that she is.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Number one, I think everyone that listens to this podcast, most of our listeners, are overjoyed and that there's some accountability in this case. We've talked about justice versus accountability and why you shouldn't break out your pom-poms when somebody goes to jail for one of these things because we still lost Dante Wright. Do you think that Kim Potter meant to kill Dante Wright?
No. But it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. And I really appreciate the judge taking a strong stance in this case because she didn't even get let out on bail. Her attorneys tried to make the argument that she should go home. It's the holidays. She's a Catholic. She's going to be celebrating, you know, the Christmas holidays. And the judge said, I can't treat her any different just because she was a police officer. That to me is is a taking a stance and showing that this can't happen, because this is somebody you're supposed to trust to be able to handle these type of weapons. So it doesn't matter to me whether she intended to or not. It happened, and it can't happen again.
Yeah, I agree, because I've been talking to some people who have said, "Van, do you really believe that she intended to kill him?" And I don't think she did, but I don't think that it matters. And I'll give an example of a story from my youth, from my country ass youth. We were about to go hunting. Going hunting out there, Gross Tate, Marion, going to Rosedale, you know where my dad's people are from. Rest in peace, Dad. And it was my father, my Uncle Charles, and some of my cousins. Now, my Uncle Charles, like us, had a bunch of rabbit dogs, beagles, cutest dogs you ever want to see, but loud and fierce when it comes to hunting rabbits. So athletic. I love a beagle. But he also had gigantic, fierce German shepherds that protected his stuff. Okay, gigantic and fierce. It was very important that the German shepherds never got near the beagles. They will attack. Okay, we're getting ready to go. The German shepherd is off the leash running around as he would be whenever the beagle's pen was closed. We had loaded the beagles up, and Jason, there was one beagle left in there. One of my cousins left the pin unlatched, and one of the dogs that wasn't quite ready to hunt yet got out. German Shepherd attacked the dog, and he killed him. Very, very traumatic thing to watch as a young country child. These are things that you go through in the country. I remember, I never forget seeing the dog look at the other dog, run over there, grab it by his neck, and wring it out. And then my Uncle Charles went over to check on the dog, and it looked like he was okay at first. And then when you looked at his neck, there was like literally just one puncture wound coming from his neck. Mm. Blood was dripping down and he died. Very, very sad, disgusting, horrible memory. It's like moving me almost to tears right now just thinking about it. And I remember Jason saying to my uncle, going, "I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to. It was an accident." And my uncle grabbed him by his head and he said, "Look at the dog." He says, "Tell him it was an accident."
Mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility in your life to take care of these other lives. You know how that goes. It's your fault this happened.
Yeah.
Like, you have a responsibility. You're in charge of these animals. This is your job to be in charge of these animals. You know how sort of these animals, and this is not me at all comparing Dante Wright to an animal.
Sure,
what I'm
saying
is, when something is entrusted to you and you have as much responsibility as a peace officer has, you simply can't make that mistake. Mistake or not, you can't make that mistake. You got to pay. And in order for us to have a society that's harmonious, where we know that these things won't just happen to us without any recourse, we got to throw a book at you, Kim Potter.
Yeah.
And took his life. It's the way it goes.
It's almost an inherent risk of the job, too. I mean, there's a reason that you go to training. There's a reason that the taser is a completely different color, a different weight. It's for, so you can differentiate that between your handgun. And that's why you go through training for all of that. So to me, there's just no excuse, especially when it wasn't that heightened of a situation. This was a traffic stop. Yes, he was trying to get away, but it wasn't like, it was a traffic stop at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So he was just resisting arrest.
Okay. Once again, I hope that the family and friends of Dante Wright are doing okay. I hope that they're doing okay. We have somebody else to bring in real quick, though, because this is something that's been going on for too long. Bring her in. Bring her in. We're not even going to break right now. We're going to bring her in right now. A couple of weeks ago, there was somebody whose name befuddled us in mailbag. It would like
this
Donnie
was a
called
this was a
woman
higher learning first.
Higher learning first. Donnie called this woman niggin. Like, we thought it was niggin. Hello, Mackenzie. Donnie thought it was niggin. Rachel didn't know what it was. We said, you said knightin. Did you say knightin?
Like, I said negan or something.
Negan, niggin, and we had no clue. Mackenzie, I'm not gonna lie, it looks like niggin. It looks like niggin. From where I'm sitting right now, Mackenzie's with us right now, and we're going to put an end to name gate. All right, Mackenzie, first of all, tell people where you're from and stuff.
I'm from Los Angeles, California, specifically Agoura Hills.
That's not LA. That's not LA.
Okay. Yes, well, it like, is. No one knows what a Gora
that's not. That's
is.
Not. That's not LA. I hate it when y'all do that. That's not LA. Like you
LA
got
County.
You.
LA County.
There you go.
Is Agoura Hills LA County or is that Ventura right County?
That's right not Ventura.
Westlake Ventura.
So y'all have heard about how far Calabasas is. Imagine a place even further than Calabasas. Oh, yes, that's Agoura.
McKinsey, what's in Agoura Hills? What's famously in Agoura Hills?
Exactly.
The Bachelor Mansion.
Oh, it is. It is. And they pretend it's Malibu. They say Malibu because Malibu sounds
you know what?
Nicer.
Right? It's Agoura Hills.
That's kind of a Malibu adjacent area, though, because if you jump the hill right there, look at us. We're completely boring anyone that's not from Southern right? California. If you jump the hill right there, you're in Malibu. They also got a great wood ranch there in Agoura Hills.
Yeah, they do.
you know that. You know about that, yeah. McKinsey. You know about wood ranch. All right. McKinsey.
Yes.
How do you say your last name? It is K-N-I-G-N. How do you say your last name?
K-N-I-G-I-N.
G-I-N, yes.
It's Negan.
Negan.
Me. No, you for some reason you said it right now, but you didn't.
Okay.
Like, it's Negan, like from Walking Dead?
Yeah,
I've never seen it, but I've heard, yes.
So can I ask you a question? Like, where does that come from? Y'all like Scottish or something like that?
See, I knew you were going to ask this, and I really meant to figure it out. I don't know. I remember one time I did a project. I had some ancestors from Russia.
Oh, wow.
Okay, ooh. Okay.
Okay.
Could be
but
Russian.
McKinsey, from Russia? How many mm-hmm. people have... like made the mistake that we did? And how many niggins have you gotten?
Okay, well, no one's ever confidently like said it like that before.
McKinsey doesn't want to say it.
Be careful, McKinsey. Be careful.
Yeah. At my college graduation, you know, you can like write it on the card. So I wrote mm-hmm. Negan. So I'm walking uh-huh. up and she starts to go like nig and then she goes, nah, nah. She starts to have like a little like stroke with her mouth and I'm like walking across. I think it's because she was gonna
she didn't wanna she was yeah
in front of the school. Yeah. So instead she's like nig negan gin gin and yeah. there's a yeah. lot going on. But
yeah. Yeah, it's very tough. You just made me uncomfortable with that whole thing.
I know.
But that's okay. I mean, McKinsey. We tried to get this together for a long time. We appreciate you being a good sport about it. We did not mean to mispronounce your name.
No, okay. I appreciate this. Thank you.
Tell the Thought Warriors like what you're up to in life. Like, is there anything you want to draw attention to since you're one of the first non-celebrity guests gosh. That we've had on Higher Learning for this whole thing? Do you want to tell anybody anything? Directly to something, McKinsey.
Oh my God, this is so much pressure. I don't
McKinsey,
know.
Do it now.
I don't know why the first thing I thought about was the Impractical Jokers. Check them out on True TV. My favorite.
Are you
bye, McKinsey. bye, McKinsey. You just plug some shit that you don't have anything.
Wait,
no, that's
are you
too
on
much.
It or no?
No.
She's just
her, like, that's so nuts. Wait a minute. Wait, McKinsey. It's a very funny show. I've never, ever. That's the whitest thing anyone's ever done. It's so like it's, I'm serious.
I'm
like
so
another
unimportant.
Show.
I'm so unimportant. Oh, that I literally
no,
am
don't
nothing.
Say that. Don't say
don't
that.
Don't say that. like you're holding your own. That was hilarious.
I was going to say, I was going to shout out my mom, but I thought that was weirder.
No, we were no, just talking about no. moms earlier.
Please, I love my mom. Please.
All right.
There
bye,
you go.
McKinsey.
I gotta go.
Thank
McKinsey,
you.
McKinsey, hilarious. McKinsey, happy holidays to
so
you.
Funny.
Thank you.
Happy
and,
holidays.
You.
Blessings
so
of the new
sorry.
Year. That's hilarious.
Okay. We'll watch some Practical Jokers.
Please, sounds the best.
It's very funny. All right.
Bye, McKinsey.
Bye.
Bye.
So we gotta bring people on. That was
we gotta bring people on.
That was funny.
She was completely unprepared.
I was like, "Wait,
unprepared.
Did they joke you? Did you get? Were you a guest?
Were you on the show at some point?
That is hilarious."
Like, no. But shout out to the Practical Jokers, the Impractical Jokers. you see Biden caved. You see that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he
caved.
Did.
Caved. Joe Biden has extended the pause on student loan payments through May 1st. That's quite a long time. I think we were going back to pain in, well, not we.
February.
You guys were going back to pain
February.
In
February. So yeah, 4 more
three
months.
3 months. That's a lot of times. 4 months. Oh, 3 months. A lot of time.
Yikes, my math. Yeah. Sorry.
So yeah. The fact that they moved it back leads me to believe that, you know, number one, we should say that one of the reasons why they moved it back doesn't really have very much to do with online criticism. Although I do really feel like that played a part. I think one of the reasons, one of the big reasons is the Omicron variant and the fact that there might be at least some slow times for the economy coming up. And it's probably not the best idea to have people jumping back into paying loans if we're in a sluggish economy. Okay. Does this give you any hope that perhaps there's more action to be done on student loan forgiveness in and of itself?
Well, I find it interesting that you don't think that the pressure had an effect on him making this decision and extending.
I think it did. I'll stand corrected.
Because,
I think it did.
My original, when I saw it, I thought, huh, I wonder if this is the pressure or if this is because of the Omicron variant. That was my first thought when I saw it. And then I saw all these congressmen and women saying, this is what happens when you put pressure. This is what happens when you stick together. And I was like, wow, they're really taking responsibility of like the attention that we were bringing to the fact that the loans were about to start in February. I think it extends the time for Biden to think about it. But what makes me not hopeful about that is that Biden has questioned whether or not he had the power to do an executive order to forgive like $50,000 or the $10,000, which I got wrong. And I'll tell my thinking on that.
You got destroyed on that.
My thinking on that, but like, I don't even know if my thinking is going to make sense because when I read 10,000 per borrower, here's the thing, for you don't have loans. I have loans and I borrow from multiple different, like I have like 5 or 6 different people. So I thought as a borrower, that didn't mean as whole. I thought it meant like I borrow from this one, I borrow from this one, I borrow from this one. So that's how I was thinking of it. Like I'm a borrower in 6 different ways. So I thought that that's how I thought of it. But whatever, fine. Yeah. People think it got wrong. That's how I thought of it. Whatever. I don't give a fuck. So, that's how I was thinking of it. So I'm wrong. I wish I was right in the sense because I borrow from 6 different places, but whatever. I think the reason back to my original thought, the reason I think that I'm not as hopeful about it is because Biden, I said, questioned whether or not he had the authority to just do an executive order to forgive. And he asked the Department of Education to draft something for him to read. That was last April.
Oh, wow.
And he still hasn't done anything. So it makes me feel like this is just delaying the inevitable, which it is paying back loans. I know there's like $1.7 trillion out there that's been, you know, borrowed. But, you know, you've got the progressives who are hopeful that they can put the pressure on him to forgive $50,000, which would be huge. I can honestly, I said this last time, that would inspire me to want to pay. It would inspire me to want to do something. Also, we are going to have the head of the U.S. Department of Education we're going to have on our podcast in January.
Oh, that's fantastic. I didn't know that. I would love to have him on the podcast. That's amazing.
Miguel Cardona. Thank you. Yes.
Miguel
Secretary.
Cardona. Miguel Cardona is coming on Higher Learning. Something else. I saw this. This is a very amazing tweet from somebody whose podcast I like a lot. Her name is Akilah Hughes. She's roommates with Tommy Alter, but she hosts Still? What a Day, which is a great. Tommy kind of goes back and forth from L.A. to New York.
That's what
he's
I was
in L.A.
Say. Yeah,
he's in L.A. She's roommates with Tommy. It was funny. The Working Families Party tweeted this: canceling up to $50,000 of student loan debt per borrower would immediately increase the wealth of Black Americans by 40%. Akilah quote tweeted that and said, hey guys, I found out why they won't do it. Now, if these figures from the Working Families Party are true, why wouldn't they do it? If Joe Biden and the Democrats love Blacks so much, the Blacks, if they love us so much and these figures are true, that could be a feather in their cap. I'm sure there's some corporate interests on the other side that don't want this to happen. It would be interesting to get that perspective on it, you know? So if you can think of anybody out there, Thought Wars, who is against this, I would like to hear from them. I'd like to hear why this is a bad idea in jumpstarting the economy by putting more money in working Americans' hands. But right here, that number alone, think about how well that plays in the debate, or how well that plays, like, think about how well that plays with black women who have incurred a lot of these loan debts because of how educated they are. You know what I mean? It's just, I when I see stuff like that, I wonder, oh, why don't they just get on it? Just get on it. Come on, get on it.
They're not gonna. I love the way you're fighting for us and it doesn't even impact you. I appreciate
I'm a team player.
That. I appreciate
I'm a team
it.
Player, you know? Okay. I'm a team player. I want you guys to get the best now that you got to pay all these goddamn loans. I want you guys to have the most money. Okay. Let's take a break.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
I saw a headline and I was wondering what you thought about it.
Oh, no. What?
Saw this big headline. Apparently, Michelle Young and her now fiance, Nate Olakuya, have now been minted the first black couple in Bachelor history. Black love, baby, exclaimed Nate during the couple's postmortem with the Bachelor Happy Hour podcast. In fact, as the magazine notes, the Lovebirds are the first ever couple of color to enjoy a final rose ceremony in the two-decade history of Bachelor Nation. Rach, how do you feel? First black. They're black.
What do you think
couple.
I'm gonna say? What do you think I'm gonna say? What would I feel other than pure joy for Michelle and Nate? Okay. Like, I really like Michelle. And she's, you know, I would love to have her on the podcast. I mean, we don't really do Bachelor stuff, but she's great. I didn't watch all of the season, but from what I see, Michelle is very happy. Nate's happy. And I love the fact that it was a black couple that they're together. Cause people, I even saw a lot because I get tagged in a lot of stuff where people were trying to criticize them because they're biracial. And even when it came to the hometown,
well, they're both biracial.
And even when it came to, and see, like, I'm not on that tip because even when it came to the hometowns, you know, another thing that people were noting is that her final four were all men of color. They were mm-hmm. all biracial. They all mm-hmm. had white moms and black fathers. And this was a huge topic of conversation, you know, not really in Bachelor Nation, but like people, black people or people of color who watch Bachelor Nation. And I feel like, because I haven't really commented on the season, because what people were saying was, oh, Rachel's mom is the only black mom to ever appear on the show in 20 years. True. But I just don't like the fact that it takes away from Michelle and her story and her finding love with a man who's black, right? If he identifies as black, he's black. He looks black. She looks black. That's how they identify. So the fact that they're mixed and the fact that they have white mothers, that's a conversation for a different day. Right now, I want to celebrate that something has never been done on the Bachelor stage before, and it happened on Michelle's season. And she got reparations.
She got reparations. What does that mean?
They gave Michelle and Nate a check for $200,000 on stage, live on TV.
That's amazing.
So Michelle got a fiance and reparations.
No, it'd be funny if they'd given her a mule. And that would be if they'd had soup.
Well, they kind of did.
Bring her out a mule.
Well, they kind of, because it's for a house. right? So they get the 200 was for her 40 acres.
$200,000
for a house. The 200 was for her 40 acres.
They move it to Detroit?
To they Detroit? Like,
not cool. Minnesota. Nope, take it back.
They buy her like 200.
That's a down payment. That's a down, payment.
I know I'm just joking. Shout out to Detroit. Wow, Detroit, Suda,
you
place.
Are so bougie.
Let me, I'm looking for a house and it's hard, but that is a down payment. So let me say something real quick, just along the lines of the four guys and they're all biracial. It means something, Rach.
But I don't want it to take, I said it's a conversation for a different day. I don't want to take away from Why? Michelle.
Why is it a conversation from a because different day? Remember when we talked about missing white woman syndrome? Mm-hmm. Remember when we talked about it? And Gabby Petito had just died, and I said maybe we should wait to talk about missing white woman syndrome after. And you were like, no. Whenever something is relevant, it's relevant. I gotta be honest with you. This is obviously not in the same stratosphere of seriousness as that is.
Same.
But I'll tell you this. It's but if the Black Bachelor has a race problem, which look,
we know they do. That's so. I'm the only person who's been black who was a lead. Everybody else has been mixed. So, right. Yeah.
Ooh, see, now you're, look. So this is what I'm saying. All of this racial identity stuff, look, to me, you're biracial, you're black. That's the thing. However, if we're casting ladies for a music video, okay? And all of them are biracial. Like all of them are biracial. I'm not talking about, hey, you got some and then a couple of them are not. If all of them are biracial, they're trying to say something. Whoever's casting the video. This is a fact. And if you have four guys that are at the end of this and all of them are biracial, they saying something.
Well, it says something about Michelle. Because Michelle's the one who picked them. And I just
how many guys did she had? How many?
There were black guys. There were black men on her show. But I guess I just, for me, I don't want to take away from Michelle. So I don't want to highlight the fact. Because if I start speaking on that, that's going to draw attention. And all I want to do is celebrate Michelle and the fact that we saw something we've never seen before, because they are both black presenting. However you want to identify, you look at them and you see a black man and a black woman. And they found love on a show that is not for or by us. So that's what I want to focus on. But absolutely, it's a conversation. I just said I just didn't want to talk about it in the moment because I don't want to take away from her shine and her season. We can talk about it now. Her season's over with.
I mean, look, you know, I don't fucking care, but I will say it just means something.
It does mean something. It 100% means something. I'm acknowledging that. It definitely does.
Shout out to Brian.
You know, some people said I was too black for the show. Well, not when I was on it, but later.
Well, you definitely were, obviously. I mean, you definitely were too, if we go back.
But not when I was on the show. Not when I was on the show. Like, I mean, I was myself, but I also played myself within the confines of the Bachelor franchise. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm interested in the Bachelor that just can't get it all the way right. And that's because they got to keep it all the way white, you know. But, you know, they moving down, you know, they dipping their toe into the water. This is what I said about Obama, because, you know, Obama's biracial. I don't know if you knew that. This is what I said about Obama. Obama is a black president, but it's like I said this before. Like, I come from a place to where when I was growing up, it was taboo for white chicks to date black guys in like high school and stuff like that. That's very true. Even in the 90s, it was still taboo. But the white girls that dated black guys, they had something called a starter nigga. I think I told you about this. It was a starter nigga. Okay, yeah. This is what I call it. It's like a starter nigga that you can like, that won't completely scare your parents off. Like if you roll in there with me, they're not fucking with it. You know, I'm coming there, I'm going to open up the refrigerator, I'm going to be like, y'all got some orange juice. You know, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to try to put on Dolomite. You know, dad's going to say something.
Wow.
Your dad's going to, you know what I'm saying? Your dad's going to say something racist. I'm going to be like, Mr. Wachowski. Nah. No. relax. You know, that's not, but there are other guys, guys that we knew. These guys were sometimes biracial. They had curly hair. They were in math league, which I was also into, not very good at it. And they like, they were starter niggas. You know, they didn't play football and basketball. They were soccer players, you know? And if you want to eventually get to a Jamal, you know, if you want to get to a like a Jalen, sometimes you got to start with a Jordan, okay? You can't go straight to Jamal or Jalen. Sometimes you got to start with a Jordan. Hey, you guys know Jordan? He hangs out. He wears one of those curved bill caps, and like he hangs out with all of the, you know, he sometimes, you know, he grew up nice. He's from that side of town, but he's black. You know what you want in the end, but you got to start there. That's kind of what America does. Starter niggas is what they do. Obama, as much as I love him, kind of a starter nigga. Kind of a starter nigga. Till one day where we can get like Jerome Jenkins Jr. as president or something like that, you know, or you, Rachel Lindsay as president.
I was a starter.
Huh?
I was a starter.
No, you weren't a starter, nigga. They thought you were, but boy, were they wrong. Wait a second. They thought you were. Wait. That's a good point. They thought you were. They thought you were. Like, but boy, were they wrong. And it can go wrong every now and again.
But think about it. If it wasn't me and it was the next person who came after me who was of color, Tayshia. Mm-hmm.
How about Tayshia?
It would have been totally different. Yeah. I would have never been able to become Bachelorette. I either had to get it first or it was never gonna happen.
Right. Oh, they'll never go back to that well again.
No, because they given us $200,000 to shut the fuck up.
they're never going back to that well again. Never.
Ain't slick. I tweeted it too. I was like, reparations. That's exactly what that was. You can't say we can't say we didn't do anything for you. We gave you a down payment on a home.
Hey man, you should hit Michelle up and ask her for a little chunk of that. Pay tribute. You know who's going to ask you for it? Probably Chris Harrison. He probably needs it. Soup kitchen.
I'm good.
So Jay-Z went on Spaces on Twitter for Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys has a new album coming out. Jay-Z was talking on Spaces with Twitter, and he said, "No one can stand on that stage with me," meaning the Versus stage. "It's not a chance in hell that anyone can stand on that stage with me after Rob Markman, one of the best journalists in hip hop, maybe the best. Shout out to Ellie Wilson. Shout out to B Dot. But Rob Markman was doing his thing that day. Shout out to academics. Shout out to all the homies. But Rob Markman is doing his thing interview wise. He says that no one can beat him in a versus. Immediately, people started saying, I have people who can beat Jay-Z in a versus. I took it on the chin because I actually said that I thought that Kanye West could beat Jay-Z in a versus. Rachel, do you agree that Jay-Z is unbeatable in a versus against anyone?
I don't know if he's unbeatable.
Right.
Like, that was a big statement, but like, kudos to Jay-Z for, you know, like being confident himself. Like, I'm not one of these people who's going to say, disagree that Jay, I think, here's the thing. Jay-Z said, nobody can stand on that stage with me. That's not true. There are people who can stand on that stage. Now, would Jay-Z win? Probably. But don't act like Kanye couldn't stand on that stage. Like Wayne couldn't stand on that stage, because even Jay-Z threw out a freestyle that he did on Hot 97. And let's not act like Wayne is not full of freestyles back in the day.
No, Wayne got it.
Like,
Wayne got it.
Full of it. I mean, we were sitting here waiting for his mixtapes to drop like they were just albums that were coming out. You know, I mean,
sure.
There are people who can stand on the stage. They may not win. They definitely can take the stage with you, and rightfully so, and deserve to be there. But so I just feel like that's something he's going to say, because he's never going to take the stage.
He's hove. I think Kanye got a hip hop 20 that can beat anybody in the history of the game. 20 songs? Jay-Z got a deeper bag.
I got to go with Wayne.
20 songs? If you give Ye 20 songs, think about what's going to be in Ye's 20 songs. You're going to have Monster. You're going to have, although Jay-Z's
see,
on
I want See, I want songs with nobody else on them. Right? Because Timbaland put up the Jay-Z, just for this argument's sake, not for the other verses that we've seen, but Timbaland put up Jay-Z versus Wang. And Jay-Z, he had like some of the collaborations with Kanye. Don't do that. I just want straight Jay-Z versus whoever straight. And I still think Kanye can compete. Like, just take Monster off. I still think he can compete. Easy.
So if Jay-Z goes up against Kanye, do you take Kanye's beats off?
No. Because
then you lose some of the blueprint?
No, which is my favorite. You lose some of the Black album? Jay-Z album.
You know what I mean? You know, so I don't know. It starts to get tough.
Yeah, no. I don't think you don't take the beats off unless he's going up against Kanye.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so I'm still thinking Wayne in my head. Sorry, I'm still thinking.
No, if he goes against Kanye, Jay-Z going against Kanye, and then at the end, they do Niggas in Paris together is the greatest verses of all time.
If they could get them to do it,
2 million people watch that verses.
But you know what would be great though, if Jay-Z did do the beats. Do the songs that Kanye produced, did the beats on. And then at the end, Kanye is like, yeah, I remember when I wrote it. You know, normally it's Jay-Z talking about it. He's like, yeah, I remember when I sat down and I came up with this. It would just boost Kanye even further. You know, like, let him play my songs.
Let me ask you a question. If we did a rap R&B/pop crossover and Jay-Z went against Beyonce in a versus, who do you think would win in a versus between Jay-Z and Beyonce?
That's too hard. They're too different. And they have their whole tour. We've already really seen their verses. Yeah. I mean, that's too hard because it's two totally different. It's like, I remember when they went on tour and people were like, I'm more of a Mr. Carter fan than a Mrs. Carter fan. Like, that's the kind of stuff.
I got you.
It's two different vibes.
I think Dr. Dre could do it. Kanye West could do it.
You don't think Wayne?
Dr. Dre.
You don't think Wayne?
Kanye West. Wayne would be right there.
I so think Wayne could do it.
Wayne would be right there. I think Nas could hang. You know, Nas, I mean, for the hip hop heads, you know, for the heads, you know what I'm saying?
No, you get it. But like, I saw Nas perform 2 years ago on stage, college football playoffs. Like, and I remember he was hitting. I was like, man, I forgot that's Nas. That's Nas too. Yeah, Nas could hang for sure.
Nas. Cardi B gave Offset $2 million for his birthday. Oversized check, $2 million. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
When people are married and they give gifts like this to one another, is it really a gift?
Yeah, it's a gift. They must have separate bank accounts. They must do their finances separately. She says he's got a lot going on in 2022, so it's an investment. I mean, I bet they're married and they filed separately. Yes, it's still a gift because it seems like they do things because he gave her a big gift too for her birthday. I'm just not amused or entertained by these big public gifts. Like, write the check, put it in a card, and do that somewhere else. What are we supposed to do when we hear that? Ooh, like, we get it. You're rich. You have money. You're giving. I don't know. I hate that. I hate it.
Damn.
I mean, it's amazing that they can do that for each other, but like, as fans or as, you know, viewers or whatever you want to call us, like, what are we supposed to do with that? Great, they're rich, they do rich things. Am I supposed to be impressed? Are you impressed?
I'm not impressed. I think it's cool. You know what I mean? I think it's cool. It's like, I don't know. It seems to be on par. Yeah, it's like when people buy each other Lamborghinis for their birthday and stuff like that. I'm like, God damn, man.
I don't know. Like,
I'm not broke. I'm doing really well, but like, I can't buy nobody no Lamborghini.
Yeah, but like, if you could, would you? I don't know. I would be so impressed if they were like, you know what? This year, Offset gave Cardi B an experience. He told her to go do your thing. I got the kids. You know, like, I'm going to give you an experience you've never had before. I don't know. Maybe that would be. Like, how much thought went into writing the $2 million check?
It sometimes seems like, though, is this the type of thing that you and Trudy think is, like, you shouldn't do for your man? Give him $2 million?
No, it's not. No, 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 no. Like, if Cardi's got it, she's got it. And that's amazing. I guess it's more of the spectacle of it. You know, like, that we all know that she wrote a $2 million check. Like I said, put it in a card. Do that soon. That in private.
So I'll tell you something about it. my only opinion on it is it's just not that great of a gift. I mean, it's an amazing gift, but at the same time, it's not the gifts that women normally give. And I'll tell you something about women. If there is anything, I don't know if we've talked about this on here before, if there's anything that is a slam dunk that women are better at than men, it's gift giving. Can I? You're not a good gift giver. Have we discussed this? I feel like we have.
No,
why aren't you a
not.
Good gift giver?
Because I'm too last minute. And
what's
I
the best gift you ever got?
I tried.
What's the best gift you ever got, Brian?
As he literally texted me while he said that. I don't know.
Damn.
You know, one year I gave a boyfriend a picture of myself to put in his office.
I'm disgusted.
Trudy, you fail me. You fail me, Trudy.
I'm
on the other side of the thing yelling.
I can't, like, literally when you said that, my skin crawled. I put myself in this position. Like, he faked it, then he called his boys like, hey.
Oh,
Byron.
No, he laughed. He laughed in my face.
I'm sure he laughed. He called his niggas, hey, Byron, bro. Yo, it's Big Sam. Hit me back. I got to tell you what Rachel did. Like, that's crazy. Nothing else you got him?
No, I gave him something else, but I was like, your office is looking a little bare.
Interesting.
What is the best gift? I got to think about it. The gift, everything's running together, but I'm sure I have, but I don't know. I don't feel like I'm a great gift giver.
They call me Gift Card Slim.
So you're not either. All right.
Fuck no. I try to be.
Don't write. You try. I try to listen. I try to take notes. If like Brian says something, I'm like, ooh, that would be, I'll try to remember that when it comes around for his birthday or Christmas.
Right. All right, it's true. So, let's take a break. Okay, so we told you about racist Judge Michelle Odinette. Okay. She was caught on camera, on tape. Well, more so on tape than on camera. Mm-hmm. Calling black people's niggers and roaches. She is the Lafayette City Court judge. It's a disgusting, disgusting situation. A New Orleans DA has ordered a review of all of her cases.
Yes, I knew it.
All of her cases. She served as a prosecutor and the assistant district attorney in Orleans Parish. Remember, Louisiana, we do not have counties. We have parishes. In the 1990s. And, you know, she's been the judge of some pretty high profile cases, you know. But now it looks like all of those cases from the 90s are going to be reviewed. Legal Eagle. Rachel Lindsay, your thoughts.
I mean, did I not call it? I didn't even know that she was a prosecutor and a DA. What was it?
She was the prosecutor. She's the city judge.
Right,
of
but what
Lafayette,
was she in the 90s?
She was the assistant district attorney in Orleans Parish.
Terrible. So I didn't even know that. So not only are they going to review the cases when she was on the bench, they're going to go back to the cases that she was prosecuting. I think that's great. This woman, clearly, I'm telling you, she's going to have a trail of injustice. And I think that they are doing the right thing. The court is doing the right thing by no longer having her on the bench at the moment. She's not getting paid, and they're going to go back and review her cases. I think that's amazing. That is exactly what should be done. And in this instance, I hope justice is served. But I was about to say they got to do a better job at vetting the people they put in these positions. But then as soon as I thought that, I thought, how do you go about that? You know, if there was no video, because that seems, and we've talked about this on this podcast before, that's what it comes down to at this point when it comes to the things that we're fighting for, especially racial injustice. If there's got to be video evidence, if there's not, it's almost like we never would hear about it. George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery. I mean, like the list goes on and on and on. And in this instance, who knows how much longer she would have been on the bench. This goes back to the 90s. So you're talking almost 30 years of her sitting there with this type of mentality. And if there was no video and audio, we would have never even known. She would continue to sit there. And I don't know how you, I don't know how you prevent this from happening again.
Yeah.
Or getting the people out of office who are, who still hold her beliefs and are sitting on a bench or a prosecutor.
There's no way. There's no way. But there's no way. There's no way to do it. There's no way to know. We very rarely get these types of peeks into people's lives. So to what's their lives and to what's really going on in their head. This is the proper thing to do, of course. And you have to be able to have some sort of recourse. Once again, it's going to take the Louisiana Supreme Court to remove her because she's an elected official. There's got to be something that can be done. There's no possible way that someone that holds those views can be the city judge of what is a big city in Louisiana. Lafayette is a cultural center in Louisiana. It's probably, I'd say probably New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Shreveport, Lafayette, probably our fourth or Lake Charles, our fourth or fifth biggest city. And it's important for a lot of reasons. So I, for me personally, just don't think that that can be allowed to happen. So keep the pressure on, but things are rolling out in the right way. Now, look,
everybody she prosecuted should get off. If they're still in prison, everybody should get off and everybody is due some type of money from the city. That's what I think should happen, because there's no way to say that she did her job in an impartial way. Everybody should be off.
$200,000 check.
They should all get out. And then they get a
$200,000. Call the bachelor. Call the bachelor. I wonder if the $200,000 was docked directly from Soup Kitchen. Like, wouldn't that have been, did they miss an opportunity?
I think he's been paid out.
I think they missed an opportunity to have Soup Kitchen give them the check. That'd have been such a full circle moment, you know? I'm obsessed with Soup Kitchen.
I know you are. It's so time. Funny.
It's mailbag time. Let's go. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in. All right, Donnie, come on. I'm sick. I'm not feeling well. Speed it up.
All right. Alexis, no more Negans.
This episode. Come on.
Sorry. All right. From Alexis.Ofori, do you believe in the idea of quote unquote the one, or is it an idealized concept?
Somebody like Neo? Like, what are we talking about? The one,
like
what
your soulmate.
One?
Like your soulmate.
Oh. Oh, no, of course.
I don't believe that there's just one person for you in this entire life. I believe that there is the one at the right time.
Oh, very
because,
well. Yeah,
because I feel like there's other people that, like, but I probably, if I had been in a different space, if they had been in a different space, it probably could have worked out.
Right.
But yeah, no, I don't know if I had necessarily there's one person and that's it for the rest of your life.
I think souls vibrate on frequencies, and sometimes you meet a soul that vibrates on the same frequency as your soul. There you go. All right, next question.
All right, ZZ Johanna asks, what was a silly belief that you had as a kid?
You know, I'll tell you a quick story. And it's how I learned that this didn't happen. So one day, I used to not know about liquid dilution.
Okay.
Know how you could dilute a liquid? I didn't know that. I thought that as long as the liquid was the same color, that it had the same taste.
Wow.
That's what I thought. Okay. So I remember I was thinking, if you pour water in the glass of Coke that you half drank, that it would make more Coke. And I was too scared to test it out. But one day, I wasn't supposed to be drinking any Coke, right? Mom said, don't have any more soda. I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink any more soda. But because I thought that I could pour water back in the soda and then make more soda, I drank some. I drank quite a lot. Then I put the Coke under the faucet and filled it back up. My dad came home. No. He tried to get a glass of Coke. I'll never forget it. He drank it. And all I heard from the other room is, man, what the fuck fuck is this? And like, bust this. So my mom comes in and she's like, what? And she goes, taste this cookie. She drinks it and she goes, oh, it must be flat. Yeah, man, we need to, that's this bad. Take it back to the store. They were never the wiser.
They never knew?
Never, no clue. When she hears this, it'll be the first time she ever heard of it. They never knew.
Yeah, the water would have changed the whole color of the Coke.
It did change the color of the Coke, but I didn't drink the whole Coke. I drank maybe like the top little part of it. So when the water, I didn't dilute it enough for the Coke not to look like it did. It looked like slightly different.
That's
but
funny.
But then I went back and I drank some of the Coke and I was like, oh man, yeah, right. It doesn't taste right. But they went back and they came back. I don't know if they got a brand new Coke or if they bought a brand new Coke, but it's a new Coke.
That's funny. Mine was that unicorns were amongst us in real life. Like dinosaurs, they were extinct. And I believe that to an embarrassing age.
You believed in dinosaurs and unicorns?
No, that unicorns were, it's not that they were make-believe. I thought they were extinct.
Interesting.
Next question, Donnie.
All right. From Marin Schultz, if you could own any professional sports team, which one would you own?
Oh, Dallas Cowboys. Come on now. That's easy.
Any professional sports team, which one would I own?
This is like a no-brainer for me. Would you?
It wouldn't be the Saints. It wouldn't be the Saints.
I thought you said it would be. Yeah, I believe that. You probably watch the Cowboys too.
I wouldn't want to be an NFL owner. I wouldn't want to own the Lakers.
Why wouldn't you want to be an NFL owner? You could have such power.
Because I don't want to vote for Trump.
You know, but that's the thing. You would be different.
Nah, they're going to make you do it.
Okay.
They're going to make you vote for Trump.
You're so the be Lakers, right there, you're not even a Lakers fan, are you?
I'm a big Lakers fan. Yeah. Oh. I'm a big Lakers fan. So I would like to, plus it's cool. I'd be hanging out at the
crypto.com.
The Crippin Arena with me and Snoop Dogg and JL Felony and all the rest of the Crips. You know, like we hang in there, Crip Arena. It would be dope. I'd be sitting on the court side. I have my glasses. You know, if I owned the Lakers, I would completely stop caring about my weight.
Like, you don't even like to be in crowds like that.
That's why I would be on the sideline. I would be on the side of the fucking thing. I'd be on the fucking side. I'd be on the court side. You know what I mean? So being in the NFL, it's like, not. Plus, I don't like their whole culture. Niggas getting CTE and all of that. That's what you like. All right, next question.
Dallas Cowboys. Most profitable NFL team. Come on. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck them. Next question, Donnie.
All right. Von Cannon _ wants to know, what's a childhood dream that you haven't fulfilled yet but still intend to in the future?
Kids.
Kids. Interesting. Having a little, like a little rug rat?
Little rug rats.
Multiple Rugrats? How many kids do you want, Rach?
Well, I don't know. We'll see what we can get at this point. We'll see. I used to say four. Like, yeah. I used to say four, but I've taken my sweet time in making this happen. That, you know, maybe two. And then maybe adopt a third.
A boy and a girl. Now, when you adopt a kid, would you adopt a white kid?
No.
Do you feel like adopting white kids is now out of style? Don't you feel like
I never knew that it was an in style thing?
Oh, it certainly used to be. Let's say I'm a white kid, right? Yeah, white kids. Let's say I'm a white kid. I'm looking at like Madonna or Sandra Bullock. I'm in the orphanage, you know, eating porridge or whatever. And like, I'm getting mad and throwing my fucking porridge at the TV. I'm like, yo, I'm right here.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I got a bowl full of porridge that Mrs. Crabtree is just like, I'm eating the porridge and I'm seeing Sandra Bullock talk about she wishes she was the same color as her kids. And I'm like, fuck you. You could have had me. I could have been here. Me, Jacob McMahon. Like I could have been your son. It's funny.
The kid would be black.
The kid would be black, yeah. What's one life goal that to direct a movie? I will eventually, in the next couple of years, I will direct a movie. It'll be fire. Y'all will like it. And even if it's bad, I'll be like, fuck y'all if y'all don't like my shit.
I want a part in it. Like, I want to be an extra.
You could play yourself in it.
Fine. I want to be in it. Period. Because I know you're going to direct a movie. I know that's going to happen.
You could play yourself in a movie.
Fine. You know? I actually think I would be pretty decent.
I think you would too. I think you could do a great job. I think you should pick up some acting gigs on the side.
Well, I mean, Robin Givens, come on. This biopic they're putting out there.
People keep saying you as Robin Givens.
They didn't cast me in the Hulu series. That's fine. But Jamie Foxx still has his project. Yo, Jamie, Robin's right here.
You want to play Robin Givens? You want to play the woman that, never mind.
Yes, I do.
I love Robin Givens. Go see A Rage in Harlem if you haven't seen it. If you're not a Robin Givens fan before A Rage in Harlem, you will certainly be a Robin Givens fan after A Rage in Harlem. That is it for goddamn mailbag. Great mailbag questions. Do you have an unexpected ally of the week, Rachel Lindsay?
I don't.
Okay.
Do you?
I do have an unexpected ally of the week. This is a tough one.
It's The Bachelor? It's The Bachelor, isn't it?
No. I'm begging everyone to forgive me for what I'm choosing as unexpected ally.
It's going to be Trump. Oh, my God. It's going to be Trump. I knew it. It's Donald Trump. I knew it. You didn't listen to that whole interview then. You didn't listen to that whole interview.
I'm not talking about anything else that happened in the interview. It's a controversial pick for unexpected ally of the week, you guys.
I
despise President Trump with everything. But it was important in this time when people need to get vaccinated for President Trump to talk to some of the people, even though he was doing it just as a feather in his cap, to say, I did the vaccine and the vaccine was great and all of that shit. It was important for people from a large portion of the states that he might be in control of. I think about Louisiana. I think about people in Louisiana who are vaccine hesitant and are not getting vaccinated and who are listening to President Trump. And I think about getting the vaccine numbers up in my state. And maybe, just maybe, there might be a couple of people who get the vaccine now because they heard their vile, racist, arrogant, criminal ex-president, but still leader, say that the vaccine doesn't kill you and that you should get vaccinated and that he's been double vaccinated and boosted. The name of the segment is Unexpected Ally of the Week.
I hope y'all drag him the same way you drag Trudy and me. Because right after Trump said all that, then he talked about the fact of kids wearing masks and how problematic that is. So
that was bad. That was bad.
Kids wasn't expecting
that. That was bad.
I was going to get upset over The Bachelor. That's who I thought you were going to pick. Now I wish that's who you would have said.
No, but not The Bachelor.
Unexpected. You're right. Unexpected.
All right. Ally of the Week. Unexpected ally of the week. We didn't want to do a whole
Candace Owens. I'll make mine The Bachelor for giving reparations to Michelle and Nate.
Oh, next time, give him a mule. All right. My congestion went away during the podcast here. It's good. Still, I'm still feeling like shit though. Take thing caps off, but do not stop learning. Reason got stuck in traffic. Reason from TDE got stuck in traffic. It's wet out there in LA. He was definitely coming on to do it. I told him we could just do it later. We still want to talk about what's going on in hip hop, what's happening out here in Los Angeles. No better person to talk about. Shout out to Reason. Shout out to everybody over at TDE. Shout out to Top Dog. But we will get that done Monday or Thursday or next week. We'll have him on the podcast. Just been on.
We're not having a podcast on Monday, you guys. We have that off.
Oh, I'm sorry. No podcast on Monday. We have Monday off. It'll be next Thursday if we have Reeves on the podcast. Take the caps off and not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
I am Rachel Lynn Lindsay. You guys, happy holidays. Be safe. Enjoy your time with friends or family or whatever you're doing, to celebrate the season. We wish you the best.
Work.
Be safe. Peace. Be safe.